Good morning.
Good morning.
It is the day of Pentecost, and so we are celebrating that God sending his Holy Spirit down upon us, which means that we are going to remain seated for a whole load of notices. Always an exciting way to start our service. I have several notices, so please do bear with me. The first of which is that next week is Trinity Sunday. And so on that occasion, we will be having a joint service at Holy Trinity Church in Penn. And this will be at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. You are all very warmly invited to come along and join us on that occasion. There will be tea and cake after the service in church. And then I know there's a number of people who often go to the Red Lion for lunch on Sundays. And if people who don't ordinarily go would like to go, please sign up through the office and so on and let them know. And we can have a good number of people having a lovely lunch together for Holy Trinity Sunday. On that theme, you will see that the parish magazine is available in the hall for those that collect it to distribute it. And in there, you will have your homework, if you would like homework for church, where is an article where I've attempted to explain in simple language the idea of the Trinity. I would be very curious to see whether or not you think I've made it easier or more confusing. But that is there for you to enjoy or not, as it may be. I also have some bands to publish, which is a great delight to be able to publish the banns of marriage between Neil Spears Kerr, single of Hazelmere Parish, and Suzanne Jane Naomi Lambert, also single of Hazelmere Parish, but who will be getting married here in St. Margaret's at the beginning of August. If anyone knows of any just cause or impediment why these two persons should not be joined together in holy matrimony, you are to declare it. This is for the first time of asking. Grateful that we have no objections, let us pray for this couple as they prepare to embark on this new chapter of their life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Neil and for Susanna. We pray that you will be with them as they approach their wedding day. We thank you for all that they have already experienced of your goodness, and pray that they will have your peace and love in their hearts as they anticipate this next chapter of their lives together. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Just as this couple are moving into a new chapter of their life, I think so many elements of our lives are often marked by one of those most interesting of things that many Christians have, and that is Bibles. This Bible here is a very special Bible to me because this is the Bible that I was given on my confirmation. It has in the front of it the name, my name and the date of my confirmation, which was the 18th of June 2006. And it's something that I've always been immensely grateful for. And on Thursday of the week that we've just had, I'm very pleased to be able to share with you that a few of us went to St. Michael's in Beaconsfield to support Beth McLaughlin and Robert Walpole as they went to be confirmed. It was a lovely service where they were able to go up to the front and confirm their faith and receive the bishop praying over them one by name. So I wonder, Beth, could I please embarrass you and invite you up to the front so that we can all say a very big well done for that confirmation on Thursday. It was a real delight to be able to join you and support you. And we would like to give you this Bible that you can take with you as a memory of that occasion, and that we hope as you read it, you'll be encouraged in your own faith. Let's pray for Beth. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made, called, and loved Beth for all of who she is. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, and we ask that that gift will continue to grow within her day by day, giving her your peace, your joy, and your confidence. To the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much, Beth. Let's give her a round of applause. I think I've said all of the notices. Can you wave at me if I've forgotten any? No waving means let's do something far better than listen to notices, though it is fantastic to support and pray for Beth. Let us stand and sing our first hymn, which is number 51. So we meet in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also
with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry, and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In our collect for this Pentecost Sunday. God, who has at this time taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We remain seated to hear the story from Scripture of the sending of the Holy Spirit.
The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
So I invite Deborah to come take up the keyboard as we prepare to sing our second hymn together. Consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. Come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Fill us anew, we pray. Consuming fire, fan into flame. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. about righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that Father has is mine. For this reason, I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? It's a dangerous thing as a preacher to read the Gospel of John and find it say, you also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. Well, I have not been with Jesus since the very beginning, I can promise you that. I am only in my 30s. But as someone who has grown up in the faith, I have lived with these words, and I am told here to testify because I have seen what he has done. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, those disciples who had been with him all the way around Galilee, hearing the parables, seeing the signs and the wonders, and witnessing with bafflement and confusion the scenes that led to his crucifixion. They are the disciples who would be in the locked room where Jesus would appear to them, saying, "Peace be with you." And a short while later, they would see him ascend to the right hand of the Father and find themselves in that room once again, waiting on God. And as they waited, a great rushing wind came in, and things like tongues of fire alighted on their heads. And all who heard them thought that they were drunk because they were speaking in different languages. Peter had to stand up and testify to what was going on. We are not drunk. It is 9:30 in the morning, thank you very much. God has done a wonderful thing. Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, has been raised from the dead so that we might know the forgiveness of sins, so that all of us who believe in him, that confess his name, might receive a promise of eternal life. This scene of accusations of drunkenness reminds us that no matter how we conceptualize our faith, or how we feel in our heart, our faith is not something which is just contained in the words on the pages of this book. The words of the Bible point towards a living reality of who God is, revealing himself to us. And as he reveals himself to us in our lives, sometimes things get messy. And so I feel that I today must apologize, because rather than preaching from the Greek or the stories or the literature of this situation, I'm going to hear this word testify and tell you a bit of my story. It's a story that makes me feel old, because I started earlier saying 10 years ago, it was nearly 15 years ago, that I was growing up as the son of a vicar and beginning my first relationship as a teenager. It lasted for nearly 2 years, and everything seemed just right. She knew, her family knew my family from way back when. There were so many coincidences and different bits and pieces. But it seemed to me, at 16 years old, that this is it and God's plan for my life. That relationship imploded dramatically and spectacularly. And a lot of it was my fault. And I felt, in the aftermath of that breakup, which had lasted about 6 months in and of itself, that I had let God down, that I had taken what he had planned for me through all of these coincidences and dashed them upon the rocks of life and made mistakes and was no longer deserving of his love and grace. I still went to study philosophy at A level, and I found that although I didn't like God and thought that he no longer liked me, when people would make things up about Christianity or argue against God, there was something in me that couldn't help but argue the Christian case. And that led me, in time, to go and study at the London School of Theology. I wanted to figure out for myself, what do I believe about this whole God thing? What do I believe about Jesus? And how do I understand the Bible? Am I Church of England because my dad is Church of England? Or am I Church of England because I agree with it myself? I went to Baptist churches, Catholic churches, Orthodox churches, Pentecostal churches. I visited all sorts in London. And across that whole journey, I ended up in the Church of England. Something happened just before I went. My dad took me to a day conference in London, where an evangelical preacher called Don Carson was speaking. And he was talking about the joy of boring testimonies, the joy of growing up in a Christian household and not having any dramatic conversion experiences, but rather having that quiet assurance and relationship with Jesus that comes in those circumstances. And I found that very helpful. Just as I came to terms with that, everything got dramatic. Because in this breakup that I had, where I felt I had ruined God's plans for my life, I started to punish myself. Initially, it was that I was going to cut myself once a day, every day for 50 days, as a private penance to myself. Hidden, not a cry for help, nothing else, just for me to tell myself that I had done wrong. Once you've done that for 50 days, it becomes hard to stop on day 51. And I found myself in a cycle of struggling against myself to not hurt myself. I arrived at the London School of Theology, which is a confessional college, which means that most people going there believe in Jesus. They're not studying it like the Iliad or the Odyssey or historical works. They're studying it as though it is true and trying to unpack what that means. Many of them were meeting together to pray together, which was wonderful. I'd never really seen Christians my age praying together. And I felt like a complete and total fraud. I knew my Bible stories. I could argue with the best of them. But they were all such good Christians praying together. And here I was, a chaotic, energetic bundle of nerves and a mess. It turned out later, but most of them weren't as sorted as it appeared. Many of them felt similar to how I did. But nevertheless, I felt like a fraud. I did my best to stop self-harming, and mostly did all right, but would have relapses. Until I got to a point where I was trying to give myself 50 clear days of not having hurt myself, to mirror what I had done at the beginning. And during that period of time, I was invited to a prayer event where people were learning how to pray with others at the end of services. I went along and I was actually in quite a good mood. I was in a good place in myself. The teaching was really interesting. They had a great band that were playing wonderful worship songs. And each of the sessions were really good. I got to the end of the day with the last act of worship, and they said, "If anyone's not come forward to be prayed for yourself yet, please come forward. We would love to pray for you." So I went forward to the front, and someone started praying for me, putting a hand on my shoulder. What happened next, I did not understand. When I had seen it in videos, I had assumed that people were faking it or looking for attention. But I fell over flat on my face. Halfway down, part of my brain is still praying, "Lord, be with me," all of those things. The other half of my brain is going, "What the is going on. And I lie on the floor, roll onto my back and close my eyes, and he puts his hand on my shoulder and keeps praying over me while I'm on the floor. Suddenly I see a whoosh of images flickering through that I have never remembered as soon as they went past my eyes. And although I was lying as close to the speakers as the pulpit is to me now, with the band playing right up on the stage, everything went completely peacefully silent. And in that silence, I heard a voice say, "If you need to cut, I will be your knife." And I understood in that moment that I didn't need to use my own tools on myself, but that God would take it. And as that realization came into me, my mind was flooded with scriptures, starting with Isaiah and the suffering servant. He was mocked, he was pierced, he was beaten, he was pierced for our transgressions. By his stripes you have been healed. All of those words, to words from the crucifixion narratives. They mocked him, they put a robe on him, and they beat him. And in my mind's eye, I saw Jesus being beaten, the whip coming across his shoulders, and scars matching my own appearing on him. And I realized that he was taking my suffering. And then I saw that he was taking yet more wounds that I did not have, other wounds across his whole body, his head, his arms, his legs. He was taking it all. I saw him say, "It is finished." I heard Paul in the New Testament saying, "See, the old man is dead and the new man is alive. You are a new creation in God." Words from Revelation, "See, the old has passed away. I am making all things new, and I shall wipe away every tear from their eyes." And I lay there on the floor, peace and serene, and overwhelmed by the cacophony of the band on the stage, and baffled by the fact that I needed to process what had just happened. Yet this person was still very kindly praying for me as I lay on the floor. In my very English way, I felt a bit embarrassed to say that my experience with God was over. So I thought to myself, well, if I say amen, he'll know that the prayer has come to an end. Amen. Keeps on praying in tongues, making this strange babbling kind of noise. I'm a little bit frustrated now, so I say louder, "Amen." I'm done. And I open my eyes, and looking up, the sensation of the hand on my shoulder disappeared, and I saw that there was no one within a 5-foot radius of me on the floor. I stood up and I went to the back, and I joined in 10,000 reasons to sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord." A couple of weeks later, something happened that kicked me into my old pattern of thinking. I wanted to hurt myself. But a friend said, "Look, I don't have time to talk to you, I'm afraid, I'm really busy. Go into that room and just pray for 5 minutes. On the one hand, quite rude. On the other hand, soon as I started praying, all of that came back to me straight away. And it was like the last weight of the blanket was gone. And since then, I've had no issues with wanting to harm myself. And then, shortly after, I went to the library and I took a book off the shelf just out of curiosity, and it was by a guy called Carbart. I'll leave Graham to explain that another time. But he wrote essentially a whole shelf of books called Church Dogmatics. The introduction, the first 50 pages laying out the absolute basics, changed my thinking along with everything else. Because in that he says that we have a God of revelation, a God who desires to make himself known to us in ways that we can understand. Revelation is threefold. God is God speaking and revealing himself. God is God revealing himself through the witness of the disciples and in the scriptures of the Bible. And God reveals himself through preaching and testifying and sharing of what God has done in our lives. All three of these are where we see truly who God is. And that set me up for the next 2 years of my degree. I went from having been in a place where, I'll be honest, my A-levels were CCE, even though I had been an A-grade student with my predictions. CCE. I was struggling in my first year, passing just about. But from that point, I was on a different trajectory. And I graduated with a first. I went on to Durham, and now, the long story short, is I am here in Penn and Tyler's Green. Some of you are very kind to me about my sermons. You like the way that I say things. You like that I do it without notes. All of the ways that you tell me you like my sermons are telling me something different. What you're hearing is, though you did not know it before, the echo of that day where God touched my heart and changed everything. When I preach that Jesus lives, I preach it because he lives. When I say I believe in God, you know that I believe in God because I have had this encounter. And what's fantastic about our gospel reading today is you also must testify. Just as I have to share my story, we each have to share our stories with God. Because God speaks to each person in their own language. In Acts, we see that very literally. We have Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, Latin, all these other different languages that were in the marketplace. People from all over heard the gospel in their own language. But today we need to preach the gospel in each other's languages. Are you philosophically minded and do you like arguments? Great, let's speak the language of philosophy and arguments. Are you struggling with depression? Do you need to know that God is with you, even in those moments where you feel like you are the most alone you have ever felt? We have to promise that God is there in the darkness, as God was with Jesus on the cross, taking our depression, our sins, our difficulties with him. Are you someone that needs to know things through doing things practically? We must love our neighbor as we love one another, as we love ourselves. And by so doing, we love God. We do things practically. We help each other, we give each other lifts, we bake cakes, we raise money, we come together and do the spring clean like we did last week. How do you speak the gospel? St. Francis famously said, "Preach at all times and when necessary, use words." Well, he preached on average 5 times a day with words. So words are important. You also testify to your friends, your family, and your neighbors and strangers. Let us communicate this great gift that we have been given. For God is a God who reveals himself. I'm not special for my story. God is special for bringing me into his story. And that is his desire for each of us, that we might receive his Holy Spirit, which is his own sense of life and love. He was quite content by himself in eternity. But he desired out of his love and joy to create the world, to make us, to know us by name, and to share eternity with us. So let us, as we taste the bread and wine, remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us, as we take that into our bodies, be reminded that we take the Holy Spirit into our souls as we share in the life of God here together. In St. Margaret's Tyler's Green. To the glory of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the beautiful silence and peace of our church on Pentecost Sunday, we thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit and for hearing our prayers. We praise you for sending the Holy Spirit to be our comforter in times of trouble and our inspiration in times when we reach out to others in the name of Jesus. Each one of us has been blessed by Jesus to receive the Holy Spirit in faith, in hope, in redemption, and resurrection. Help us to accept and be inspired by the Holy Spirit, touching the hearts of others and sharing God's love with everyone around us. Help us to be kind to one another and to encourage others, perhaps here for the first time, to discover Jesus in our neighbourhood and in our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for leaders, especially our own. We pray for our international leaders and world leaders in this dangerous time, that they will use their immense power to do good and not harm, and to collaborate in solving and not creating wars, famine, poverty, disease, and climate extremes. Let there be peace and reconciliation in our world, and let love overcome mistrust and conflict. We pray especially today, Whit Sunday, for the end of the brutal wars in Ukraine, Gaza, Sudan, the threats of new global conflicts, and famines in Africa and other countries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, and a prayer for others known to us. We pray for those who are unwell and convalescing. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are suffering from hardship, illness, anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your Holy Spirit is always with them. Make us compassionate with our responses to their difficulties. We pray for those listed on our notice sheet: Amanda Ricketts, undergoing more chemotherapy; Eve Nelson, back home again; and for dear Peter; Joyce Feacock, now in Shelburne Lodge; Evie, daughter of Laura Hobbs; Christine Nisbet, suffering from long COVID. We also pray for Samuel, our vicar, his wife Linnea, and their baby son Alfred, and for our new dementia group, and for our King Charles, as he takes up his royal duties once more. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, a prayer of thanks and praise. We thank and praise you for the Pentecost blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation. Help the Holy Spirit to inspire us and to share our Christian love with others so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So I invite you to stand and share with me our faith in the God who has revealed himself to us. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Spirit was poured out and it rested upon them like tongues of fire. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Our next hymn is number 1202, Come Down, O Love Divine. Spirit, Spirit of healing and comfort, of integrity and truth. Warm winged Spirit brooding over creation, rushing wind and Pentecostal fire. Help us by this sacrament to commit ourselves to work with you and renew our world. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our service continues on page 7. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, we give you thanks and praise through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of a blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forevermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. So as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. All are welcome to come forward to the rail to receive communion, but if you would rather have just a blessing, please keep your hands down, and I'll be glad to bless you. Faithful God, who fulfilled the promises of Easter by sending us your Holy Spirit and opening to every race and nation the way of life eternal, open our lips by your Spirit, that every tongue may tell of your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son, and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we have been reflecting on the story and testimony that the Holy Spirit has given us to share of Jesus Christ. I wonder, what have we been up to this morning in Tiger Club? Who wants to let us know? What do we have? We have these, are they?
We have wind socks, because we talked about the Holy Spirit rushing in. As
yes. Oh, so brilliant. So do you want to stand up and hold them up for people to see? Now, if you breathe and blow really hard up underneath them, maybe they'll be like the one up on the altar with the flames coming everywhere. But isn't this wonderful? A good sign for us. The Holy Spirit moving like a rushing wind and giving us the light and fire of faith. This is fantastic. Let us pray for our young people as they engage in all these activities. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Tiger Club. We thank you for what they do and ask that you will meet them by your Holy Spirit and reveal to them the truth of your stories. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much. Stay here just for a moment. Let's give them a round of applause. Because we have this hope in the Holy Spirit, we are united with Jesus Christ, who ever lives and pleads for us at the right hand of God the Father. So let us rejoice in his risen presence now as we stand and sing our final hymn. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. Thank you very much. Lord, take these gifts and those which are given by various other ways and means, that they may be taken and used for your glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And so we prepare to depart this beautiful church from the beautiful fellowship we have with one another, heading out into the sunshine of summer. Let us go and live and move and have our being within the light of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Let us testify and share our stories with those we know, that we might bless others and reveal to them a glimpse of the love that God has for them. So may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you and all those whom you love, this day and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.